He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Hello all, and we're back for another great episode of Solutions Allergy Radio. I have my guest on the line right now, Dr. Alan Ellman. He's a president of the Blue Collar Investment Group, Blue Collar Investment Corp. He's the author of several books, I believe four bestsellers at this point. The book we spoke about last time is a complete encyclopedia for cover call writing. We're going to be building off that conversation, talking about selling premium, making money in the markets in a safer, more responsible, more sustainable way. That's my guest tonight is Dr. Alan Ellman, making a second appearance on the show. Alan, how are you?
I'm great. Glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you on. Of course, much has changed in the market since we last spoke. We could say that pretty much on any given day, but much has changed in the way to the upside, although we're seeing a little bit of cracking the last couple of days. It could just be minor rotation, but it's been selling off the rallies the last 2 days. Who knows what happens with that? But let's build off what we spoke about last time, which is premium selling, covered call writing. Let's reintroduce that one more time, if you'd be kind enough to do that, and talk about the concept and how you generally use that to make income for yourself, for your mother, for your family, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, covered call writing is a low-risk option selling strategy. And the way it works is you first purchase an underlying security. It could be a stock or it can be an exchange-traded fund. Once you own that stock or fund, you're now in a covered or protected position. So you leverage off that covered position by then selling an option. So what we're doing here with covered call writing is we're selling some unknown person, because everything's done online, the right but not the obligation to purchase our shares from us at a price that we determine by a date that we determine. And in return for undertaking this obligation, we're paid a cash premium that's dictated by the market. Now, I sell predominantly one-month options. So as a quick example, if I buy a stock for $48 and I agree to sell the stock for $50, I'm going to get paid an option premium for undertaking that obligation. And that obligation will last for 1 month, which expires on the third Friday of the month, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Now, after you sell the option, that cash is generated into your account immediately, and then you go into position management mode. For example, if the price of the stock goes way down or goes way up. So once you buy the stock and sell the option, you're not finished. You have to keep an eye on the trade, because there are so many things you could do to mitigate losses, to turn losses into gains, or to even to enhance gains even further. And that's pretty much what's in my book, teaching how to select the underlying security, which is the first required skill, then selecting the most appropriate option to sell, which is the second required skill, and the third skill is position management or exit strategies. So that's just a general overview as to how the strategy works. I've been using it now for more than two decades, and I've been using it to generate cash into my brokerage account. And this has been the most successful way of investing with stocks that I personally have had over that 25-year period.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you do a lot of traveling, you talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people think that you need a lot of money to be able to trade, especially to make meaningful trades with options, whether you're selling premium or going long. But you could actually do covered call writing, so to speak. It's more of a buy write with options solo, instead of just having to go with, if you own stock, there's ways to do that, which is buying an in-the-money call or an at-the-money call, roughly, but in-the-money obviously works best, and selling an out-of-the-money call or even an at-the-money call, and you can collect that premium all the same. And then if the price stays above above whatever price it is that that you bought at, then you could actually collect the premium all the same, correct?
Yes, there are ways of spread trading, which is a little more involved and requires a higher level of trading approval. But there are also ways of keeping the cost of trading down by using exchange-traded funds, which is something I do in my mother's account. And when you use an exchange-traded fund, which for those of those listening not familiar with it, those are mutual funds that behave like stocks And so mm-hmm. that basket of stocks, many of which you could trade options on. So in order to be properly diversified, if you're going to do individual stocks, if you go by the BCI methodology, you're going to need to purchase at least 100 shares of five different stocks in five different industries to be appropriately diversified. But if you use an ETF, an exchange-traded fund, then you could be diversified without owning five different positions. You could do it with two or three positions, and therefore your investment or your cost basis could be much lower. So you could use covered call writing. Specifically, traditional covered call writing involves first buying the underlying security. Now, you use the term buy right. Buy right means that you're using one trade to both buy the stock and sell the option, and you're selling at a net debit limit order. For example, if you buy a stock at $28 and sell the $30 call for a dollar, you enter the trade as a net debit limit order at $27. So that means you're gonna pay $27 for that trade. And then the broker will go to multiple platforms to both buy the stock and sell the option. So that's called a buy right trade, where you both buy the stock and sell the option at the same time. If you buy the stock first and then sell the option, which is the way I prefer to do it, and I can explain why if you'd like, that means you buy the stock first, then once you own it, then you sell the option in two separate trades.
Mm-hmm. So let's explain that methodology there, why you prefer to do it that way.
Yeah. If you enter the trade, the option trade, after you own the stock, and by the way, those of us that are trading covered calls will very, very frequently only be working on the option side because we already own the stock. So if we had sold a stock, let's say bought a stock in April and sold the option in April, we might still own that stock the next month in May, either by rolling the option, which means buying it back and selling the next month option, or if the option expired worthless, still owning the stock and now just selling the option the next month. So the point I want to make here is that you should really be familiar with how to do both legs of the trade, because you're not always buying a stock and selling an option. Frequently, you're just working on the option, and if you already own the underlying security, either selling the option or buying back the option. So you need to learn it from that perspective. But here's one advantage of legging in, and it relates to an SEC rule called the show or fill rule, which is really geared to retail investors. And what that regulation states is that if a retail investor submits a limit order that improves the market, and I'll give an example in a second, the market maker must then either execute that trade or publish that trade. So let me give you an example that'll make all this come alive. Let's assume for a moment that the spread on the option, the bid-ask spread, is $2 and $2.50. That means if we're selling an option, we would sell it at $2, the published bid. If we were buying an option, we'd buy it at $2.50, the published ask. That 50-cent spread, that advantage, goes to the market maker, who pockets the difference. In other words, the market makers are buying low and selling high. The larger the spread, the more money the market maker makes. Now, enter the show or fill rule. That says that if a retail investor like us puts in an order that improves the market, which simply means a limit order somewhere in between $2 and $2.50, the market maker is obligated to either give us that price or publish it. So let me tell you what you do in a case like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have
That's
a 50-cent spread. You find the midpoint, which is 225. Then you drop mm-hmm. down a bit in favor of the market maker, 220. So you put in a limit order to sell that option at 220 instead of $2. Now, the market maker gets this order, and this is the dilemma the market maker is faced with. Either give Elman the 220, or he has to publish it, which means if he publishes it, now the spread is $2 to 220, a much mm-hmm. smaller spread. So frequently for retail investors like us, the market maker, just to get rid of us and the 3 to 5 to 7 contracts we're selling, will execute the trade at the 220, which means we're getting $20 a contract more. If you have 5 contracts, that's $100, and keep the spread published at 2 to 250. Now, one more caveat let me add, Alexander, just so your listeners are aware. On the trade execution form, if you're going to use that strategy, which I highly recommend, there's a little box on the trade execution form called the all or none box. Sometimes it's just A-O-N. You cannot check that box. If you check that box, then the market maker is no longer beholden to the show or fill rule, and this strategy will not work. They'll just deny the order, and they will not have to publish it.
That's very interesting.
That's one of the reasons why I like legging in, because if you're using a buy right combination form, you don't have that clout to use the show or fill rule.
Yeah, and that's something a lot of people are afraid of, Alan, is that they don't know how they're going to get filled, where they're going to get filled. A lot of people are afraid to use market orders for that same reason. You see a lot of them. I experienced it with SunEdison, where I was showing my buddy the manipulation as it's happening. I would put in an order, the price would just all of a sudden change and fluctuate just out of nowhere, and they just did this the whole way to try to bait you into obviously them making more and you taking in less, and you paying more if you're going long, or taking in less if you're going short, or selling the option. So this happens all the time. So it's better to know you're not going to change the world in finance. I don't think anyone's as bigger than the market. It's just the way it is. But what you can do is understand it, and that's what we're here to talk about as well. Figure out what we can do with the situation that we're dealt, the cards that we're dealt. Once again, I'm speaking with Dr. Alan Ellman, the author of several best-selling books. Most recently, we spoke about Complete Encyclopedia for Covered Call Writing. We've been talking about options, selling premium, using covered call writing, buy rights, and Alan's been kind enough to share his mentality and his ideology going into it, why he does the way he does. Now, moving on from that, we're in the market period right now where there's not a lot of volatility. The VIX is very low. UVXY is crashing, all that kind of stuff. So the volatility is just not there. The market keeps grinding higher towards new highs, new all-time highs. So with that, that means that options premiums are lower. So typically you look about 3 or 4 weeks out for you to sell your covered calls, but given the lower volatility period right now, you're not collecting as much. So let's talk about what you're doing today to try to collect or try to maintain somewhat of the average that you were making, let's say January when volatility was through the roof.
Well, let me just say this, because there's a lot of people that feel the greater the volatility, the better it is when you're selling option premiums. And I feel just the opposite, because when there's a high implied volatility in the market in general and in a particular underlying security, that means that the option seller is incurring more risk to the downside. Because when we're selling options, in essence, we're selling volatility, because that's what dictates the premium, assuming we're comparing the same time frame, 1 month options to another 1 month option. The main difference in the premium is based on the underlying volatility, it's called implied volatility, of the security. So the higher the premium, the greater the volatility, which means the greater the risk. So the way I work it, I kind of work it backwards. First, before I even look at premium, I want to develop a watch list of elite performing stocks, both from three perspectives, Alexander. Number one is from the fundamental perspective, because stocks that are very sound fundamentally are the ones that the institutional investors love. And I'm talking about now mutual funds, hedge funds, insurance companies, banks. They love companies that have growing revenues and earnings. So I screen fundamentally first, get elite performers from a fundamental perspective. Then I look at the charts of these stocks, and I identify trend, hopefully an uptrend. I look at momentum indicators. For those of you who read charts, my favorite momentum indicators are the MACD histogram and the stochastic oscillator. Those of you who don't read charts, it's really no big deal. You're just looking to see if the lines are going up or down and if they're above or below zero. It's as simple as that. and I use volume to confirm. So I look for stocks that not only are strong and sound fundamentally, but also have good technical bullish charts. And then a third screen is what I call common sense screens, things like adequate trading volume, diversification. I do things like avoid earnings reports. So there are several screens from a common sense perspective. So that all develops your watch list for option selling candidates before you even look at premium. Most people make the mistake of saying, which stock is going to get me the most premium? That's a major mistake that retail investors make, because they don't realize that they're going to be incurring a lot of risk to the downside. And covered call writing is a low-risk conservative strategy, so why convert it to a high risk? So next comes, okay, you got the watch list. Now you take a look at the option and the premiums. Now, I do it from this perspective. I set my monthly goal for initial returns, and that goal in my portfolio is 2 to 4%. So that means the time value component of the premium needs to be 2 to 4% for me to use that particular security. Even when the VIX is below 20, below 15, as it is now, you're still going to find securities that will give you a minimum of a 2% initial one-month return. I promise you that. So they're there. Now, then I take a look and I say, okay, is my outlook on the market bullish, bearish? Is it a volatile market? If it's a bullish market in my assessment, if it is, then I'll sell an out-of-the-money strike higher than the current market value that gives me my initial 2 to 4% return, but then an opportunity to generate a second income stream if the stock price rises from current market value up to the strike. So if we bought a stock for $28 and sold the $30 call for $1, that means I've generated an initial return of 3%, and if it goes from $28 up to $30, now I have another 6%. So in a bull market, I would look at the 30 strike. But if I'm bearish on the market, I would take a look at a strike slightly lower than 28, which would give me an intrinsic value component to that option, which in essence gives me an insurance policy of downside protection. It'll give me more protection. So even though for those not trading options right now, that might seem a little complicated, the takeaway is that an out-of-the-money call option you would use in a bull market environment, and an in-the-money call option you would use if there's a bearish market environment, or if the chart technicals are mixed as opposed to bullish, or if you just have a low risk tolerance and you need that extra protection to sleep better at night. So you can craft the strategy to the market conditions. Now, you said that, you know, the market's been going up, which, yeah, it has, like, you know, 13% in the last 3 months, and that the VIX is very low. Well, that's not shocking, because the VIX and the S&P 500 have an inverse relationship. And so when the market's going up, the VIX is usually going down. And so I look at that as a positive. I love trading in that environment because it's less risk, and I usually tend to go with the out-of-the-money strikes, which give me the opportunity to develop that extra second income stream for the share appreciation I would get by selling that out-of-the-money strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, today, the way you're looking at it, you look at you have your obviously your fundamental screen, and you look at the ETFs or the stocks, whatever. Do you look at any kind of ETNs, exchange traded notes, or anything like that? Would you ever do something like a UVXY or an SVXY, or is that something you're just not interested in because there's no fundamental value in those particular issues?
I stick with stocks and ETFs. You know, there are thousands of securities to choose from that are either stocks or ETFs, thousands. And you can find within those thousands of stocks enough underlying securities that are reliable in nature. They might even generate dividends on top of the covered call premium. So I stick basically to that. Try to keep it as simple as you can, and generate premium with known quantities, things that most retail investors are familiar with. The first leg of covered call writing, if you think about it, Alexander, everybody knows about buying and selling stock. You know, they may not be real good at it because maybe they've given their money over to some advisor. So learning the second leg, option selling, is the part that they have to concentrate on. They kind of have an intuitive feeling how you buy a stock. You want to see it go up in value. But this selling the option part is not quite as intuitive, but that's the part that we have to learn. And I think we should try to keep it as simple as we can. So I restrict my securities to stocks and ETFs.
And people can learn more about what you're doing, what you and your team are doing at thebluecollarinvestor.com. Of course, the books that you have written is another way to go about that. There's covered call writing. There's exit strategies for covered call writing. There's the complete encyclopedia for covered call writing. And there's selling cash secured puts as well that you have written. So there's a lot. There's a lot of content. People can go to thebluecollarinvestor.com. You're on Twitter. You're active there. You're active on Facebook. You're active on LinkedIn. You're active on YouTube. So there's definitely no shortage of content from you, for sure. And I encourage people to check out what you're doing out there. Again, you do get a chance to travel and talk to a lot of people. So I guess the best way to leave off with now is, when we talk about options, what's the main aversion that people are having when they hear you for the first time, the second time, third time, whatever it is, or people that haven't heard you at all and just approach you because they might have looked at your book or somebody said, hey, you know, check this out. You might enjoy this if you're trying to get into the market. So I'd like to hear what that aversion is. I think that's the best way to come off of it, because anybody that's listening to this was averse to trading and then trading options at some point or another, or multiple points. So let's hit that, because we're not alone in those aversions.
Well, I think that people are afraid of options. There's kind of like an understanding amongst uneducated retail investors about options, which is most people, that options are risky. I actually thought that too before I came across an article, which is how I got started in all this, that said you could sell options in your self-directed IRA accounts. That kind of shocked me back in the 90s, because I always thought options were too risky. And people feel that the deck is stacked against them, that, you know, the market, that the insiders are the ones that can make money on this. So they feel like that the market is stacked against them. They feel it's way too risky. Most retail investors work very, very hard for their money, and capital preservation is very important. Well, I'm here to tell you that covered call writing is a very low-risk strategy. There is risk, no question about it. And that's the only reason why we're getting paid more than a risk-free premium, a.k.a. treasuries, because we're incurring risk. But if you could become better than everybody else at selecting the underlying security, at selecting the most appropriate option, for knowing how to manage your positions after you enter your trade, then you're going to do very, very well with this low-risk strategy. And as an extra benefit, you can also trade in a sheltered account, in your self-directed IRA accounts. So as you're generating these monthly cash flows, you don't have Uncle Sam in as your partner. So the way to overcome this fright of options is to educate yourself, because as you become more educated, you'll become more confident. And I always tell people, you know, once you've read about it and educated yourself, you're still not ready. You've got to practice or paper trade. You know, I make an analogy. You're not going to read a book about swimming and then jump in the Pacific Ocean. You know, you're going to dip your toe in the shallow end of the pool first. So there are sites where you could practice or paper trade. You know, let's say you're going to do a $50,000 account. Well, get five stocks in five different industries and get going. And do it for practice. Make your mistakes practicing. And then as you get more and more confident, then you're going to start using this strategy and building up your portfolio like I did, because I started with a modest portfolio back in the 90s, and now I have a substantial series of portfolios where I do covered call writing, and I trade in my mother's account with exchange-traded funds, which is a little more conservative. So education is the key. Paper trading, keep the door open. Just because you've heard that options are risky, that doesn't mean we retail investors can't make a lot of money using options. And I'm not saying, Alexander, that we're going to hit a grand slam home run with every trade. We're not going to hit any
right.
grand slam home runs, but we're going to hit
yeah,
singles and doubles
point.
All day long. That's what
yeah,
it's all about.
It's not the point to hit the home runs. It's not how you keep the train moving and keep money going, because eventually, if you're in for the home run, you could strike out with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning when all the chips are there, and you could really just, you know, get hammered as a result of it. You can lose a lot for that. So when you're reaching for more, you're putting more on the table, and it could end up burning you. It might win a few times doing it, especially when you're newer. You think it's easy, and it gets complicated from there because psychology gets into it. But you did mention IRA. I think we should just mention that real quick, given that it's, you know, tax week and people want to resolve to make the next year situation a little better, lower their tax burden or increase their tax burden if they're bringing in more income. But talk about that real quick, the IRA, and how you use that to trade and what the benefits of doing that are.
Well, when you sell an option, and especially if you do it the way I do it, which are one-month options, we actually have a lot of members of the Blue Collar Investor who like weeklies. I prefer monthlies. But in essence, what we're doing is it's short-term capital gains. So the government, many years ago, established covered call writing as the one options strategy that it allows in self-directed IRAs. Now, some brokers are allowing other strategies in, but the one strategy that's universally accepted across the board in every brokerage that I know of is covered call writing. So what you have to do is you have to fill out a form. You have to let your broker know, hey, I want to do covered call writing. They'll give you a form to fill out. And it's considered the lowest level of trading approval for options. It's level one.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
Something like selling puts or naked options, which are naked options are much riskier than covered calls, that requires a higher level of trading approval, and most of us won't get that. So the brokers have to be very careful because they're beholden to this SEC regulation known as the Know Your Customer, KYC, Know Your Customer rule. And so they're beholden to not giving people strategies that they shouldn't be given use of. So covered call writing is easy to get. It's level one. It's allowed in your self-directed IRA. So if you have X amount of dollars in your IRA, you could start buying stock and selling covered calls, and you do not have any tax issues until, if you have a traditional IRA, so you pull the money out. If you have a Roth IRA, you never have to pay tax on that money. So there are huge tax benefits to using covered call writing in a sheltered account. Now, if you don't have a sheltered account, heck, you pay tax on money you're making. You know, I mean, there's nothing you could do about it, and it's short-term capital gains. But, it's the one-option strategy that our government, and by the way, it was just upheld by the Department of Labor, that things will not change and it still will be permitted. The ruling just came out like a week ago that it's still going to be permitted in self-directed IRA accounts.
Incredible. Okay, great stuff. There's ways to use the tax code, obviously, for those that don't have their own army of legal teams and accountants and things like that. So you just gave a great tip for a lot of people out there. I hope it changes the strategy for the better and for positive gain for all my listeners and people that they end up talking to and carrying this information out to. It's about getting the right information out there. It's about doing it smartly, doing it soundly, and it'll also help you sleep at night when you realize that even if the market comes down a little bit or your particular ETF or stock that you're trading comes down a little bit, you're going to be protected to a degree there, and you'll still collect some sort of income, especially if you have a longer-term horizon. That's how you continue to collect income, and one day you're gonna see there's a pot of gold that initially started with a couple chips and all of a sudden became a whole big pot that you can hopefully retire off of and likely retire off of if you do it the right way. So, Dr. Ellman, thank you again so much for coming on. The site, once again, is thebluecollarinvestor.com. Strongly encourage people to go check that out. You can link out from my site at solutionsology.com, and you could also get the full bio on Dr. Ellman from there. And again, the books that we've mentioned before, also great to check out. It is kind of like a Bible for a lot of people, especially the complete encyclopedia for covered call writing. So once again, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the insight, and thank you for the, depending on how it's used, potentially game-changing advice.
Oh, pleasure, Alexander. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Yeah.